Jesus to you. Amen. I love them songs. Hallelujah. But anyway, I'm Gary Dawson, and I've been knowing BJ ever since I started that mission. And so anyway, I've been praying. I was going to speak on righteousness by faith the early part of the week. And then I've just been meditating on things, and it was clear to me that I'm going to share about the transfiguration. See, you know the world is getting dark. Darkness is covering the earth, gross darkness to the people. We're in the last of the last of the last days. That Ezekiel war thing is lining up over in the Middle East. And so I believe in a rapture. You see, when Jesus comes and gets us. And this story that I'm going to share with you tonight is a type of the rapture, if you will. It's called Mount Transfiguration. And there it is. That's Mount Hermon. The highest point in Israel is Mount Hermon. The lowest part of the world is the Dead Sea. But this is the highest part. All right, go to that next one. I've been there. I went with my son, his daddy-in-law, and my brother. Now, I told my son, I said, put your finger up. And I was going to try to angle my camera in such a way his finger would be on Mount Hermon, but I missed it. But it's back there. It's way back behind his finger. And we was in a place called, the place we were at when I took this picture. I called Jacob yesterday. I said, what's the name of that place? He told me, but it's crazy. It's spelled B-A-N-V-I-S, but it ain't pronounced like that. It's where the waterfalls were. You remember that David was fleeing from Saul, you know, and that was one of the areas that he kind of hid out. But anyway, that's Mount Hermon, and we'd say Hermon down here in the South. It's spelled that way. Hallelujah. Anyway, go to the next slide. Okay, now watch this now. Watch this now. Help me here, Lord. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John. You see Jesus taking Peter, James, and John to a lot of places, and there's a significance there. Peter represents rock. His name means rock or stone. James means replace or something like that. And John means grace. It's like Jesus is sending a message. Every time he carried those three, the stone or the law has been replaced by grace. You see, we're under grace now. But after 6 days, say 6 days. Now, you know the Bible says in Peter, one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So really, we've been here 6,000 years, but you could say 6 days. 6,000 years. In God's eyes, he's outside time and space. So this is already, we're in the sixth day, the 6,000th year. The next one, in fact, we're in overtime. Yeah. The Jewish calendar is real close to this. So I believe it's a type of rapture, okay? Let them up high on a mountain by themselves. Okay, go to the next one. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone. Say his face shone. Like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. It means transfigured, means to change into another form. What's that rapture about? That's when we get a brand new body. See, we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord. To Christ's appearance was changed as was resplendent with divine brightness. Okay, here's a picture kind of. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Peter, James, and John see this. They're on this mountain. This is a big deal. Jesus is up there. He's transfigured. And Moses and Elijah come down to talk to Jesus. They see this. Now, Moses, there's a type of thing. I got that off the computer, so I don't know how real that is. But Moses was and Elijah were two of the most illustrious characters of the Old Testament. Moses gave them the law, the Torah. He wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. Elijah was a prophet. Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. And here they are talking with Jesus. Okay, go to the next one. Then Peter answered, if there was ever a time for Peter to hush, it was like right now. You got Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus, and Peter's got to say something. That reminds me, y'all, I've done that so many times in my life. And God put it in the Bible to show us. Peter is such an example of us. Peter, this was the time for you not to say a word, just watch. But watch what he says. He said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make, in other words, Peter, James, and John, let us make here three tabernacles, tents, booths, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. There's something bad wrong with that. Peter, just put Jesus on the same plane as Moses and Elijah. You can't do that. He's so much greater than that. Moses talked about him. Hallelujah. Elijah prophesied about him. You can't do that. But today, in religious systems and everything, you know, we tend to do that sometimes. But watch what God does. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, and whom I'm well pleased. Hear him, not them. It says, hear him. Hear him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. A voice came out. This is my beloved Son. That's the voice of the Father talking about Jesus. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. At the highest point in Israel, God spoke that to Jesus. And in the lowest part, go to that next slide. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove on him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, and you I'm well pleased. This is before we ever started the ministry. This is before we cast out the first demon or healed the first person or cleansed the first leper. God said, I'm pleased. So God accepts us not based on our merit or our performance, what you've done and what you haven't done. God accepts us based on what you do with his Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's God's beloved Son. It says so right there. In you, I'm well pleased. Well, that's exactly what it said on Mount Transfiguration there, you see. All right, go to the next one. Here's why this is important. Hey, back up to that slide if you don't care. Just a minute. Let me bring something out. God said, this is my beloved Son. Say, beloved Son. All right, watch what happens. This is Luke 3. Jesus is going to go in the wilderness and be tempted of the devil. Go to the next slide. When he did, he tempted him. He said, if you're the Son of God, make this. Well, right here. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God. He left out a word. The devil left out a word. The voice said, you're my beloved Son. The devil said, if you're the Son. And he's not trying to remind you that you're the beloved Son of God. Little son, but nevertheless son. We're sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God or daughters of God. He left out a key word right there. Jesus is in the wilderness when this happens. You may be in a wilderness. You may be struggling with stuff. I bet you are. I ain't met a person yet that ain't dealing with something, a child in school or sickness or something like that. It's just many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. We live in a world that's so confused, identity crisis and everything like that. It's wonderful to know that you're the beloved child of God. That'll get you out of the wilderness experience. You can endure the wilderness once you understand God loves me. All things work together for good. I'll just be here a minute. You know Job 40-something chapters, I believe it is. Did you know I did not know this? All that happened to Job happened in 9 months. You read 40-something chapters, you think, my gosh, that's 40 years of his life. Nine months. Look, you may be in a trial. You may be in a wilderness. You may be in a tribulation right now. Maybe in a struggle. It'll pass. Just trust the Lord. Understand that you're the beloved child of God. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He's crazy about you. Somebody need to hear that. You thought you missed it. You thought you blowed it. But I really did it. I know you did it. We do that. In our flesh dwells no good thing. An apostle said, in his flesh dwelleth no good thing. We can be of the flesh sometimes. We're not in the flesh if you've been born again. You've got the Spirit of God in you. But we can be of the flesh sometimes. This right here will empower you not to walk in that so much. This right here will empower you to resist that temptation and not give in as frequently. This works. God wouldn't put anything created in the image of God, in the image of Jesus, being conformed to the image of Jesus. It's incumbent upon us to discover who Jesus is. There's none like this man. He was kind but not soft. He could confront you without hurting your feelings. He never had to recall a word or retrace a step. Everything about him was in such rhythm of grace, so balanced. All of his attributes were so balanced. There wasn't one characteristic that outweighed another. Solomon's known for his wisdom. David's known for writing the book of Psalms and killing that giant. Elijah's known for calling down fire. Moses is known for delivering God's people out of Egypt. But Jesus, the attributes, the sum total of all of his attributes, the beauty, the nature, the majestic, meek at the same time. Deity and humanity all at the same time. Velvet and steel, like velvet and steel all wrapped up in one. There's none like this man. None like this man. So freely. He forgave that woman. It says he freely forgave her. Yes. Look at his style. The woman, you know, the alabaster box. Freely forgave her. It's his delight to forgive us. When he found that lost sheep and brought it back, he brought it back rejoicing and told people, rejoice with me. I found my... Look at his style in saving us and forgiving us. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. None like this man. But anyway, the devil said, okay, go to the next one. Now, I want to show you something here in Ephesians chapter 1. There's no conflict with what Jesus said in the Gospels versus what Paul said in the epistles. Some people say, well, Jesus said this, Paul said this. Paul got his instructions from the risen Jesus. When Jesus was on the planet, the Gospels was when he was here. But Paul got a revelation of who we are in Christ. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Meditate on that. Meditate on that just a minute. You've been accepted because of Jesus, because you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. God now accepts you. It's not based on your merit, your performance, what you have done, what you haven't done. It's based on what you did with Jesus. You're in the beloved. Jesus is the beloved. We know that. God said, this is my beloved son. Get this, make this your own. I was going down the road the other day when I knew no doubt this is what I wanted to preach. I don't remember what I was doing. We've been building this lean-to. I told those guys about them posts. Had to dig 3 post holes. Had my chest opened up, you know, back in December, you know, a heart attack and all. It took me 2 hours to recover. 5 minutes just to do. My son said, Daddy, use your brain for something besides a hat rack. But anyway, I was coming back, and I said, God, I remember saying this. I knew that when Joseph told his brothers, go tell my father of what you've seen down here in Egypt, my glory. You know, Joseph became the viceroy of Egypt. He's second in command only to Pharaoh. And he, you know, the Joseph story and everything like that. He revealed himself to his brothers, and he sends them back now to tell Jacob he's alive. Joseph said, go tell my daddy, my father, of my glory. Now, Joseph represents the type of Jesus right there. Y'all, there are so many types and shadows in the Old Testament of Jesus. Joseph is probably the best one. Loved by the father, betrayed by his brothers, married a Gentile bride. You know, he married a Gentile. Became the bread of the world. There's so many types and shadows about that. But anyway, Joseph said, go tell my father what you've seen. You got 11 brothers going back, 11 different voices of what they saw in Joseph. 11 different characteristics or attributes or ideas or angle. And you have one. You can, high intensity type praise and worship is telling the Father what you think about his son. Try it sometime. Just brag about Jesus to the Father. He loves his son. And when you remind him of his son, he's going to bless you. And I'm going to tell you something. The mountains that may be in your way, the circumstances just melt when you think about this. You see. But anyway, so I got to thinking coming down the road there. I thought, well, Father, you love Jesus. I mean, you were crazy about him, wasn't you? Just talking, you know, when I'm in the truck by myself, I talk a little different than I would out like this. But I'm just going to tell you this. Just something going on there. Glory to God. And one of them moments, they don't happen all the time, but it happened. So anyway, I thought, you love Jesus. You just love him the way he pleased you. Everything was so perfect. He fulfilled the law. He was so obedient even unto death. He died for the sins of the whole world. He left his world and came to our world. He lived a life we should have lived. He died a death we should have died. You've got to be so pleased with Jesus. I was just meditating on that, and then it hit me. It hit me. I hope you get this. Gary, how do you know we don't think about you like that? That's just me and him now. I don't know. If you didn't get it, you didn't get it. But I'm not saying I'm Jesus. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the connection that we have now with the Father because we're in his Son. Come on. If you're not saved tonight, you like need to get saved.
Yes.
Just because you go to church, you've been baptized a certain way, you need to discover this Savior that died for you and me. Make it very personal. Maybe you've been close before. You've been on the porch. The dogs can still get you on the porch. You better get in the house. Hallelujah. You won't regret it. You're going to meet God one day. You're going to meet him. You're going to see him one way or another. Hallelujah. Might as well do it now. Glory to God. Let him wash your sins away and born you again. Put his spirit within you. Your word, the word of God will start. It's just 5:34. I'm nearly through. Gosh. Hallelujah. So you're accepted in the blood. Say this. Say this. The Bible says that the angels in Psalms 103, angels hearken to the voice of the word of God. Angels hearken to the voice of the word of God. It don't say angels hearken to the word of God, which they probably do. But the Holy Spirit deemed it necessary to whoever wrote Psalms 103 to say it like this. Angels hearken to the voice of the word. Who gives voice to God's word? Talk to me. Talk to me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, for my righteousness is of the Lord. Say it. The Bible says in Isaiah, surely shall one say, my righteousness is of the Lord. You have to say. The way you get born again is you have to confess. You believe in your heart, but you better say something. You got to say it. I won't ever forget. There was this guy way back in the day, in the 80s. I was going to this little church, and there was this woman that sang. She could sing. We were all young back then, you know, in the 20s and so forth, 30s. And anyway, she told me one day, and her husband came to church, would support her. He'd come to church every time the church door was open. But he told her he wasn't saved. And I thought, well, so I went to praying about it and everything, and so me and Chisai invite, my wife's here, by the way, on the back pew. She's like triple Baptist. Hallelujah. God has, hallelujah, restored our, I had a drug history, you know. I'm not going to go into that. Where was I at? Oh, gosh. Oh, this guy. Okay, so me and Chisai, we invite Wanda and her husband, Gary, over for supper. Been praying about it. I'm going to get him saved. That's what we did back there. Oh, if we had that again. Just a passion. You go up in a store, you're going to tell somebody about Jesus. That's the best place to do it, too. They can't run off. They got to be kind and courteous. You go down on them bridges over there. Hallelujah. But anyway, just share the gospel. So anyway, we got him over there. We ate supper, and I carried him into a room. I said, Gary, are you not saved? He said, no, sir, I'm not saved. I said, pray tell. I've never seen anybody like you. You sing in church. You go to church. You love the Lord. You support your wife. And you're not saved. No, Gary, I'm not saved. I said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He said, yeah, I believe that. I said, do you believe he died on the cross for you? Yeah. I said, do you believe he shed his blood to wash your sins away? Yeah, I believe that. I said, you believe they buried him? Yeah, I believe that. I said, you believe in 3 days he rose from the dead? He said, well, sure, I believe that. And then he hit me. Holy Ghost, he floats up from your belly. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He ain't never said it. I said, Gary, you listen to me right now. You do. You say what I say. I led him through that prayer right there. My gosh, he lit up like a light bulb. He knew it. He just never said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. I'll make you the Lord of my life. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, and the confidence you get and the assurance you get. You get born again. You're a child of God. You got the Holy Ghost right then, an unction that'll teach you all things. Now the Word will come alive. Hallelujah. I love this church. You can feel the presence of God when you're coming down that road right there. You got to, well, I said I wasn't going to do that. Did you know that Jesus did not brag on John the Baptist until John the Baptist's disciples left? That's when he turned to the people and said, I'm going to tell you something about John the Baptist. There's not a prophet or born of a woman greater than John the Baptist. Greatest prophet. But he waited to those. See the poise, the style of Jesus? He didn't brag in front of those disciples. They went back and told John. John's in prison. He's the loveliness, his attributes, every one of them. So the sum total. Hallelujah. So anyway, he got saved. Glory to God, he got saved. He believed. If you that could be for you. I wasn't going down that trail, but I hit it for a second when I saw how much time I've got left. You could be here and you believe and you've done this and that, but you never confessed. Say this with me. Say, Father. Go ahead and say. Say, Father. I thank you that you've made me accepted. No, that you've accepted me because I'm in your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, hopefully you'll get in a car or shower or somewhere and say that with a little bit more intensity and let that revelation really sink in. It'll carry you through these dark times we're living in. It's time for Jesus to be exalted. It's time for Jesus to be unveiled. I got to go, what's the next one? While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed him. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. I just want to emphasize, hear him. Many voices in the world today. I visit churches from time to time. I had a call from my daughter this morning. You go to a church where they preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful, little children, what you hear. And be careful how you hear. Jesus said once, be careful, take heed what you hear. And again he said, take heed how you hear. It's important to hear about him. Hear him. Jesus, the Son of God. All the, golly, it'd take over 1,000 tongues to tell all the beauties and the excellencies and the glories. It's incumbent upon us to discover those because we're being conformed to his image. We'll start walking like him. We'll start talking like him when we see him from the Holy Scriptures or hear him preached. Changes your life. You're saved, but we're talking about sanctification. All right, what's the next one, please? And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. Okay, now God says, hear him, did he not? Ain't it interesting? Wouldn't it be interesting? Y'all, it's okay to ask questions to God. I got to where I do it more and more and more. Ask questions. When inquiring minds like to know, God says, hear him. So let's see what's the first thing Jesus said. After God said, hear him, what did he say? Go to the next slide. Arise and do not be afraid. That's what he's saying to you tonight. In that struggle you're in, that wilderness experience, that relationship problem maybe you've got a child, when that once they get in high school, I mean, they're being influenced by all these things. All right? And don't be afraid. Trust the Lord. Trust Him. You can trust Jesus. That's a rock. That's that rock. That's that rock we were singing about. So he's still relevant for today. The way science and things like that, putting people putting this and that. Y'all, they're shaking. Everything that will be shaken, is that can be shaken, is being shaken right now, except this gospel. These young people come up and they don't know. They want to be a girl wants to be a boy, and a boy wants to be a girl. Black wants to be white, white wants to be black. Indian wants to be Mexican, Mexican wants to be Chinese. You got all this stuff going on. You know, young people, they hear that. This is solid. You need to introduce them to this. You are who you are because God created you in His image. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Teach them. It's important we teach our children. Hallelujah. Lord, I love y'all. Glory to God. Let's see how much time I got. All right, go to the next one. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw none but Jesus only. You see this. My prayer was that I would unveil Jesus to your people. BJ, I don't have all doctrine stuff or my knowledge. You get older, I'm 67. You discover you didn't know so much to start with. You just don't. Hallelujah. We want to just tell people about Jesus. Okay, go to the next one. Hallelujah. And they came to the crowd. Okay, now watch this. When they came down off of Mount Hermon, Transfiguration, people were drawn to Jesus. This man had a demon-possessed son. They were drawn. A man approached Jesus. He came down off that mountain. Remember his face shone? Remember his face shone? You remember Moses' face shone? When he got the Ten Commandments, he come down. His face shone. He had to cover his face because it scared the people. They ran from him because he represented the law. They ran from the law. That law condemned you. The letter kills. The spirit gives life. Yes. The strength of sin is the law. Hallelujah. Okay, that man approached. All right, watch. Give me that next scripture. You see right there where Moses' face shone, and they were afraid to come. Jesus' face shone, but people were attracted to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That'd been a good time for like an amen. Jesus was so approachable that even children were comfortable being with him. Amen. This man. He was coming down through there, and the parents wanted Jesus to bless their children. This is just Jesus. This is his style. We're being conformed to his image. He always goes above and beyond. He helped them and blessed them. They just wanted him to bless them. Oh, hallelujah. There's just none like this man. Hallelujah. We could just talk all night about Jesus. Okay. They were afraid. Okay. All right. Watch it. Okay. I done that. Go to the next one. Okay, we talked about Moses. Oh, this is going to fit. You're going to love this. I'm closing now. Moses was on that mountain with Jesus, and so was Elijah. Say, Moses and Elijah. Okay, now watch this right here. Let's look at Moses for just a second. They needed water. They got out there in the wilderness. First time they needed water, God told Moses to strike the rock, and water came out. If you look up the word rock there, by the way, in Hebrew, it's Sur, T-S-W-R. It means boulder rock. It means boulder type rock. Well, 38 years later, they get over there and they need water again. And they're, you know, crying out to Moses and Aaron for water. Moses goes to God, and God says to Moses this time, speak. This is a message we were talking about speaking earlier. This is how important it is. God says, speak to the rock. Well, rock there in Hebrew, if you look it up, in English it just says rock both places. But rock there is Selah. Selah, C-E-L-A. It means a cliff rock. It means a risen rock. Boulder rock represents Jesus when he was on this earth. He was smitten. This rock represents the risen Christ that's to be spoken to. You see that? But Moses finally broke. He finally broke. Called him a bunch of rebels or something like that. He smoked the rock. Not just once, but twice. He disobeyed. He failed. Moses failed. And because of that, he didn't get to go into the promised land. Except on the day of the Mount Transfiguration. Where was he at when that happened? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He did too. When I first read that, I was just a young Christian. I said, God, he put up with him for 38 years and you're not going to let him go into the promised land? Just because God was trying to send us a message. We speak now to the risen Christ. And you know water still came out. Why? Because God loves his people. In spite of that big blunder, water still came out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, go to the next one. That's where he said you won't go in. So say Moses failed. Hallelujah. All right, go to the next one. So that's Moses, and Moses was up there. All right, watch this. Now, Elijah said, you know, the other character was Elijah. Elijah said, hear me, O Lord, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. He called down fire from heaven. Elijah did that. He really did that. I'll go to the next one. And Elijah said to them, take the prophets of Baal. And they took them, and Elijah slew all the prophets of Baal. It's a big deal here. Go to the next one. And Jezebel found out about it. Jezebel found out about it. That was Ahab's wife. She's a wicked woman. She found out about it, and this is what she sent this message to Elijah. This great prophet just called down fire from heaven and said, may the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I've not killed you just as you killed him. That's what she said. She said it, but Elijah saw it. You know how people can say things sometimes and you'll see it? Well, he saw it. This great man of God, Elijah, just called down fire from heaven, got scared of a woman, terrorized. Go to the next one. But he himself went into the wilderness, sat down under a juniper tree. He requested for himself that he might die. Man, just called down fire from heaven. That's symbolic of us too. We'll hit a home run, we'll win somebody to the Lord Jesus. If you're not real careful, 3 weeks later, you might say a cuss word in front of somebody. We're not trying to do that, but I'm just saying we have those ups and downs. It's important we understand we're accepted by God. That getting all that straight and resisting those temptations and getting that holy knife is not criteria for God to accept you. He accepts you because of what Jesus did. And this other stuff is for men to accept you, and you glorify Jesus when people see your holy life. You understand that? You don't get saved by works. He sat down, he said, Lord, just go ahead and take my life. It is enough now, Lord. Take away my life. He said it to him. Y'all know that Elijah could pray? The Bible even uses him as an example over in James. It says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And it compares to Elijah. The man could pray. I said the man could pray. Here he prayed twice for God to take his life. Did you know God did not answer that prayer? Did you know he still ain't answered that prayer? Hallelujah. He still ain't. He never died. Remember the chariot come down and got him and swooped him? The man, aren't you glad God don't answer all your prayers? Oh, I prayed some stupid ones before, BJ. My gosh. I don't know what I was thinking. God in his grace and mercy. Hallelujah. Y'all may not be like me. I figure you are. I do. I figure you are. We're all the same. The children of God, we're trying to do our best to represent Jesus on this planet, to preach the gospel. Sometimes we stumble, sometimes we fail, sometimes we miss it. But that's when it's important to get up, dust yourself off, hear a message about Jesus, how you're still accepted, you're still forgiven. Just keep right on trucking. Hallelujah. 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 Take away my life. Okay, go to the next one. Okay, watch this, I'm closing. So Moses failed. Say, Moses failed. Elijah was discouraged. Say, discouraged. Now, watch this. God, please, right here's the time for you to unveil your son to these people. May they see this and never, ever forget it. Go to the next scripture. Behold, my servant. Talking about Jesus. It's Isaiah 42. Prophesying about Jesus. Behold, my servant, whom I behold. Mine elect, in whom my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Go to the next one. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. There's not bruised reed. I've been to Israel. They're like a dime a dozen down there around the Jordan. The kids use them, you know, for flutes and instruments and playing to a bruised one. You just throw it and get you another one. Except Jesus. A bruised reed. BJ, I love you. I respect you. Appreciate your love for Jesus. I said I wasn't going to brag on you while you was here, my bad. No, I recognize when somebody got the gospel, the full gospel, they're sold out for the rest of their life for Jesus. You got you one right there. A bruised reed. They use those reeds for singing, for flutes. Maybe you've lost your song. Y'all, I had a heart attack in December, and I'm 67, and I cry like that right there. I don't know what it is. I tell myself before I preach, I ain't going to cry tonight. But when you get to thinking about Jesus, he's not going to throw you away. I'm so glad that he don't. A bruised reed, smoking flax, they're like a dime a dozen. When that thing goes to smoldering and that stench and that smell, you've lost your whatever aroma. Still valuable to him. Hallelujah. Wow. Okay, go to the next one. Remember, Moses failed. This scripture's in the Bible. This is in the Holy Bible. God put it there because he knew you'd study about Moses one day. You study about Elijah one day, and this is what he says about Jesus. Hear him, not them. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, till he's established justice in the earth. Hallelujah. That's it, glory to God. Let's see. 554. Now, I do have a slide. Can I show them that podcast thing? I got y'all. I'm.